In the face of this metric delivered by the VP of customer service, Bezos, knowing the general sentiment of customers and the anecdotal evidence of customer complaints, said, "Let's see." Hey, this is Mark Graziano, and this is another segment of Something to Consider on the JRC podcast. My goal is to give quick hits of insight where simple thoughts can fuel innovation. In today's episode, I'd like to explore the topic of metrics. If I'm being honest, throughout my career, I've struggled with my own opinions on the importance of metrics. I'm not saying that we shouldn't track metrics at all. There are certainly times, especially when moving from a mature to optimized state, where metrics tracking can be incredibly insightful. However, I do believe there are a lot of scenarios in business where we're forcing the need for a tangible number report just because. In most cases, I believe that we each have an inherent understanding of what tasks benefit and detract from company success, or what initiatives are working and what aren't. This isn't a quantitative value, but I generally believe that we all have what I'm going to call a vibe meter that can pretty accurately ballpark, on a positive, neutral, and negative scale, the impact of actions and their outcomes. Consider projects that you've worked in the past that you knew contributed very little to the company versus those that you knew were meaningful. Chances are that your daily job satisfaction working on those projects was directly proportional to the value that it brought to the company. If you worked on something that you knew had no value, it may have felt like you were pushing a rock up a hill only to have it come back down at the end of the day. If you're working on something that was incredibly beneficial, chances are you woke up feeling energized in the morning, ready to get that task done. Now, aside from my general concerns about measurability, effort, and impact, there are aspects of metrics tracking that I've found to be just plainly problematic and that have rubbed me the wrong way. The two biggest issues of concern that I've consistently observed throughout my career are: one, observing how leaders can manipulate the practice of metrics reporting to fabricate a narrative of success that just simply doesn't exist beyond the selective numbers presented on a slide deck. Now, to illustrate what I mean by this, consider when you hear news stories of politicians touting record wage increases in the recent months or years. Now, while that data, the wage increase rate, at face value and in a vacuum may be true, the rate of wage increases still greatly lagged behind other factors, including, for example, the rate of inflation. The presentation of these metrics come off as a success story when zoomed in, but when brought into the broader context of reality, it's actually a story of significant concern and failed execution of duties. Reason number two is that if you select a metric without consideration of how that will influence the behavior of the people who are striving to make their careers on exceeding those metrics, you may end up getting phenomenal numbers, potentially at the risk of your product's quality or your company's humanity.
Amazon is now admitting that delivery drivers do in fact sometimes have to pee in bottles.
Well, Conan, first of all, I've been told Amazon would rather use the word acknowledge than admit. And we'd also like to clarify, they don't have to pee in bottles. They get to pee in bottles.
Actually, speaking of Amazon, when it comes to these scenarios of metrics misrepresentation and inappropriate incentivization, that inherent vibe meter that I mentioned earlier is actually a pretty great tool to determine if metrics are bullshit or not. There's a great podcast between Lex Fridman and Jeff Bezos that illustrates the importance of not discrediting anecdotal experience. In the interview, Bezos recalls a time at Amazon when customers had been complaining about wait times for customer support. Yet the metrics presented in executive meetings showed that the average wait time was 1 minute or less. In the face of this metric delivered by the VP of customer service, Bezos, knowing the general sentiment of customers and the anecdotal evidence of customer complaints, said, "Let's see." He then proceeded to dial Amazon's 800 number on speakerphone with all 30 executives present. And it proved to be a very long and brutal 10 minutes until somebody finally answered the call. And it was this kind of business instance that gave way to his philosophy that when the anecdotes and the data disagree, the anecdotes are usually right. Now, tying this all back to GRC, somebody recently asked me, how do you measure the success of a GRC program? To be honest, at the time, I was not super proud of my answer, but it did give me a chance to think about how to measure program success. Some people may hate this statement, but I feel that metric selection and prioritization is subjective. Different people care about different things. We all don't find the same thing to be equally important, so I think the concept of a universal set of the top maybe 3 to 5 GRC metrics is just unrealistic. However, I do want to put some, what I'm going to call anecdotal GRC principles-based metric, on your radar that I think you should keep in mind. Number one, does the business understand the value of GRC? If you are constantly being viewed as nothing but a call center, you are in trouble. GRC is not something that companies formally implement, especially the compliance piece, just because they felt like doing it. There is some business driver, some sales to be made from a certification, or some revenue that hinges on you adopting a new framework to unlock an entirely new industry of potential customers. If you're struggling with sentiments from the business that you cost more money than you generate, you need to be picking metrics that tell a story of how you contribute to the business. I'm not going to define what those specific metrics are because I think they're unique to each business, but you need to be able to tell a story of revenue generation. The second principal metric to be mindful of is, do people enjoy working with you and your program? Even if your program has the most beautifully detailed quantitative metrics imaginable, but everybody is on edge when they interact with you or they try to avoid you at all costs, you do not have a successful program. In GRC, at our core, we're not builders, we're analyzers. Our success hinges on the relationships that we have with our colleagues that allow us to gather and organize data in the way that we need to perform our function and to be able to effectively influence them to complete work that benefits our objectives. If people hate working with you, you will never have an optimized program. The last principle to be mindful of is, do you add friction or do you improve efficiency? If the majority of outputs from your program add bottlenecks and hurdles rather than add efficiency, there's no other way to say it, you are harming your business and somehow getting paid to do it. I'm not expecting any program where you have to implement controls to always result in optimization 100% of the time, but if you can't determine how to comply with the regulation without throttling the business or your colleagues, I'm going to need you to think more creatively. You need to be mindful of the ratio of throttling to acceleration. If you are throttling the business more than you are accelerating it, you need to think about ways to change what you're doing. To summarize all of this, as a GRC resource, you need to perform work of value. And that's either going to be through the direct advocacy of your customers through things like privacy regulation adherence, or by creating assurance among other businesses that wish to procure your services. You also need to be well-liked. As the most cross-functional team in security, you need others to succeed. And lastly, you need to be creating efficiency. If you're adding speed bumps, not guardrails, you're not helping. Try your best to accelerate the business while adhering to your requirements. How you choose to measure these three things is completely up to you, but I wanted to call this out specifically because while you might not have a way to quantify these at this time, these are things that you can feel their significance day to day. You know if people see you as valuable, you know if people enjoy working with you, and you know if you're causing more headache than you're helping. You are more than welcome to put numbers to these, but every single day, you have some inherent understanding of how you are succeeding within each of these categories. To operate successfully in governance, risk, and compliance, you need to strive to be valuable, collaborative, and facilitative. Until next time, this is something to consider.